being a part of this first 2015 Sunday, which is important. It's very important that you start the year off to set the course of your year. What you do in the ending of the year, it starts what you're going to do in the beginning of the year. And what you do in the beginning sets the course for the rest of the year. Look at somebody and say, I'm setting my course right now. Yeah, right now. Yeah, right now. I'm going to be in church every Sunday, if possible, unless I got to work. Yeah. I'm going to be in Bible study unless and I have to work. Look at somebody and say, I'm setting the course now. Yeah, I'm setting the course. Yeah, I'm setting the course. I'm setting the course. I'm letting heaven know that I'm still here. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm a worshiper and I'm still here. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. We're going to, if you would, let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And we're going to be reading from the Message Bible. So if you do not have a Message Bible, just hear me real closely and then buy the CD so that you can study this word that we're going to be embarking upon in this beginning of this new year. Yeah. This is going to be out of the Message, so if you got your pad and all that good stuff, you can follow along with me. If not, then again, I want you to make sure you get the CD. That's going to be very important this year here, that you really become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a church goer. You're going to have to get into the word. We're going to challenge you to get into the word and learn how to do some things. And it only can happen if you follow up on what you have been taught each Sunday or each Tuesday or each time you're in the word of God. You're going to have to study and read your word, follow up on the preacher, check the preacher, make sure the preacher is coming out of the word of the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say, the times of being bamboozled is over. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. I'm bamboozled. Them days are over. I'm going to read this word for myself. I'm going to see what this word has to say to me. I'm not going to take what somebody say only. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to read it, study it so I can learn some stuff. In the 28th verse, it said, are you tired? Jesus asking a question in this Message interpretation of the scripture. Are you tired? Worn out? How many have had those seasons of being tired and worn out? Yeah, you just done so. You, matter of fact, you done church so much you got tired. How many done got tired of doing church? Come on, you just done church. You just was routine. You just came to service, sat in service. You knew when Sunday was coming. You knew what you was going to wear. You knew how you was going to wear this and how you was going to wear that. And you just routinely came to church until you got tired. And here is Jesus appealing to those who are tired, who are worn out. Listen to this. Burnt out on religion. Burnt out on routine tradition. Somebody say routine tradition. Yeah. You know exactly what the church is going to be doing at certain times of the service. In your mind, you say about 10:15, they're going to be doing this. By 10:30, they're going to be doing that. You already know exactly what is going to be going on. Why? Because there's no relationship. There's only religion. Religion is man's effort to appeal to God. Relationship is God's effort to appeal to man. God, I'm going to say that one more time. Religion is man's way of appealing to God. Relationship is God's way of appealing to man. God came to you first. You didn't come to him first. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Look at somebody and say, everything is on God. Yeah, I know you want it to be on you because you want some credit in this season. But I come to tell you on this morning, the things God going to do in your life, it's going to be so big. It's going to be so enormous. It's going to be so exceeding. You're not going to get no credit. Now listen, I got to bust some people bubble because you think when God does things, you try to bring up your prayer. Y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. You say, I pray for it. No, God going to do some stuff that's going to go way past your prayer. Because you know how it is, somebody get delivered and the first thing somebody, a religious person say, I prayed for them. You ain't got to announce you prayed for the person. You just celebrate and give God praise for what God has done. When you announce you pray, you trying to take God's credit. In Bible say God won't show or share his glory with anyone. He said, are you burnt out? Come to me, Jesus said in the message. He said, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Look what he said here now. He said, come to me and get away with me. Now, in this favorable, triple favor season, you're going to have to learn how to come to Jesus and get away with Jesus. Yeah, you're going to have to stop waiting until you come to church to get in his presence. You're going to have to start getting in his presence on a personal level. Look at somebody and say, you're going to have to get in his presence on a personal level. Yeah, a personal level. See, a lot of us, what we do, we want to flirt with God on Sunday and don't say anything to him Monday through Saturday. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. Look at somebody and say, no more flirting. Tell them, say, I'm in a real relationship with Father God. Yeah, I'm not flirting with him anymore to see what I can get out of him. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk. You ever had people to flirt with you just to see what they can get out of you? To put that smile on you? Y'all ain't going to talk. No, the women put that, you know, them eyelashes on you. Y'all ain't going to talk to me up in here. You know, or walk by with a certain, you know, persona. Walk by with a certain twist. Come on, look at somebody and say, that's flirting. You know, folk come to church and they flirt with God. They give God a little praise here and a little praise there. But when Monday show up, they don't say nothing to him. When Tuesday show up, they don't say anything to him. When Wednesday say come up, they don't say anything to him. Thursday, they don't say anything. Friday, they don't say. Saturday, they totally forget about God. And then Sunday, they come up in here like they've been talking to God all week. Look at somebody saying, this season, that will not work. He said, come to me and get away with me and you'll recover your life. Look at somebody and say, I'm recovering my life. Yeah, tell them, say, the favor of God is going to give me power to recover my life. Now look what he says here. He said, and I'll show you how to take a real rest. He say, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Now, not this way you close your eyes. Yeah, you close your eyes for a couple of hours, you know, and you become unconscious for a couple of hours, but you get up the next day just as tired as you were before you went to sleep. He said, I'm going to show you how to get a real rest, a complete rest, a rest where your soul is at peace, where your mind is at peace, where your spirit is at peace. Listen to this, and where your flesh is at peace. Yeah, your flesh is at peace, a real rest, a rest from the inside out. Not a rest from the outside in, the inside out. Yeah, you go to sleep and you really get peace. Look at somebody and say, tonight I'm going to sleep in peace. Tell them, say, I refuse to be tortured. I refuse to be tormented by the cares of this world. Yeah, yeah, because those are the things that keep you from sleeping. And God say, I'm going to take care of those things for you in this season so that you don't have to be worrying about them. Look at somebody and say, he's going to take care of them for me. And I don't have to be worrying about them. When I go to bed, I go to bed. Not getting up through the night, pacing the floor, trying to figure out what's going to happen on tomorrow. God already got tomorrow taken care of it. Why? Because he's already in your tomorrow. Look at somebody and say, God is already in my tomorrow. Now look what he says here. He say, walk with me and work with me. You know, in the King James, say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Walk with me and work with me. God say, work with me in this season. Yeah, cooperate with me in this season. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Join me in this season. Listen to this. Partner with me in this season. Look at somebody say, in this season of favor, you would have to become a partner with God. He said, work with me. And then he said, watch how I do it. He said, watch how I do it. Stop doing it the way you think it should be done. That's what has gotten a lot of us in trouble in previous season, because we are in God, but we're not doing it his way. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. We're saved, but we have our own way of doing things. We're in a relationship with Father God, but when God instructs us, we don't think his instructions work. Come on, you're not going to talk to me in here. Because we don't mind God saving us and carrying us to heaven. But please, Lord, don't tell us how to live. Come on. He said, you're going to have to allow it to be done my way. See, my way, you know, they used to have a cliche that say my way or the highway. You know, if it's not done God's way, you're not going to get God's results. Look at somebody and say, if it's not done his way, you will not get his results. He said, watch how I do it. And then he said, learn. This is the part I like right here. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythm, because all that other stuff that you have been doing have been forcing you. You're forced to come to church. You don't come to church simply because you love God. You come to church because to you, you feel that it's an obligation. That's why when you come in the house, you're obligated to be here, so you don't get the experience that God wants you to have. That's why some of us can come in one way and leave out the same way. Because we're only here out of obligation. We're not here out of genuine relationship and love toward God. So when we come in like this here, we come in and the songs don't connect to us. Because we're singing songs in a strange land. Come on, y'all not talking to me in here. You know, we sitting in church, but our minds are somewhere else. How can you come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and think about your food on the stove? How can you come before God and think about what happened yesterday or what happened this morning? All of your thoughts and all of your attention should be on him. So we can't receive from him what he wants us to have because our minds are so distracted. We're forced. We're pushed. We're forced. We're pushed. We're not responding in the grace of God like God would have us to do, because his grace is unforced. His grace is when you are relaxing in him. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life, what's going on in your life. God said, I want you to be still. Stop moving all the time. Stop trying to work things out and figure things out. See, a lot of times if you're not careful, you'll bring those bad habits into this season, because the habits that you had in the previous season, you tried to work it out. You tried to figure it out. That's how you got tired. That's how you got worn, because everything that you wanted God to do, you was trying to do it with your own hands. God said, no longer in this season will you do things with your own hands. God say, it's going to be my hands. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. It's going to be by my spirit. Everything you want God to do in your family, you're going to have to relax and let him do it. Get your hands off of it. Stop talking about it. Stop worrying about it and just recline in God and let him take care of what you have not been able to. Look at somebody and say, take your hands off it. Come on, tell them again. Say, take your hands off it. Yeah, your hands is making a mess of it. Take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. You can't manipulate God. You can only trust him. Look at somebody and say, you cannot manipulate God. You can only trust him. See, a lot of us try to treat God like we treat one another, because sometimes we try to manipulate, coerce other people to do what we want them to do. You can't do God like that. Why? Because he has already decided what he's going to do in your life. And God is not going to change his mind about what he's going to do in your life. It doesn't matter how you try to coerce him to do it. God's mind is made up about you. Look at somebody and say, God's mind is made up about me. Yeah, his mind is, he say, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. God said, in this season, I will not put something on you that don't fit you in this season. Everything God put on you is going to have the grace that fit you. Look at somebody and say, he's tailor-making some stuff for me right now. Yeah, and tell him, say, you can't wear it. Yeah, you can't wear my grace. My grace is designed for me. You can't put on my grace. You can't put on my robe. You can't wear what God has placed on my life. Why? Because it's designed for me. Look at somebody and say, God has specially designed a grace for me. Look what he said. He said, keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. He said, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, once we come into the kingdom of God, the Bible said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. But we have this tendency to go back into the bondage of work. Come on, I'm going to keep on moving in here. We have this tendency to go back into the bondage of work. We get saved, we get set free, but then we get back in bondage trying to do it on our own. So I need you to write this down here, because we're going to be talking about this. Learning how to live in God's favor. Learning how. You got to learn how to live. That's why I say, take my yoke upon you. Listen to this. And learn of me. Learn how to live in his favor. Stop living in your labor. Stop living. See, that's why when people, you know, accomplish something, you know, on their own, you know, first thing they want to tell people, this is what I done. This is what I accomplished. You see, this is what I achieved. See, because they achieved it by their own hands, by their own might. See, we got to get away from the curse. The curse empowered Adam to labor. But the blessing of Jesus empowered us for favor. And we got to get out of that curse. We got to get out of this syndrome from the sweat of our brow. God is no longer wanting you to operate from the sweat of your brow. That's an indication of frustration. That's why sometimes when things don't work out for you, you lose your peace. Because your peace was based on your labor. Your peace wasn't based on his favor. So the peace that you thought you have, you lose it when things don't work out for you. Listen here, you become unglued. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. You become unglued. You lose yourself. You get frustrated. You start talking out of frustration. You start talking out of character. Your speech betray you. Your speech let others know you're not in the peace of God anymore. You become unglued. As much as you try to cover it up, you're now speaking out of your emotions instead of your spirit. Because you have allowed the things of this world to get next to you. You haven't truly discovered a rest in God. And in that rest comes his favor, unforced favor in your life. So you have to learn how to live in God's favor. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. You have to learn how to live in God's favor. You have to learn how to do this. Learn how to do this. Learn how to do this. See, what you should be laboring in, you should be laboring in trusting. Just entering into his rest, trusting him, depending on him, relying on him. Yeah, putting your weight on him. The Bible talks about trusting the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Put all your weight on him. Look at somebody and say, you have to put all your weight on him. Come on, say it again. You have to put all your weight on him. Yeah. So in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18, it says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. Here is Peter now encouraging the believers to grow in the grace of God. And Peter got this idea of grace from Paul, because if you read the other previous verses, Peter began to refer to Paul's message and the mystery of that message. And Paul's message was a message of grace, a message of favor. That word grace is the word charis. It's our word charisma. Charisma, or somebody who's highly talented, somebody who's very well, you know, I put it like this, somebody who have superb ability. Yeah, somebody with charisma, somebody with charisma. And that word charis, it's the ability of God. It's the power of God working in and through your life. Now, he said, grow in it. So grow indicating that you have to develop in the grace of God. You have to mature in the grace of God. You start out in the grace of God immature. You start out immature. You start out as an infant. That's what the Bible meant when it said for us to grow, for us to, as newborn babes, in other words, as newborn babes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. He said, you start out as an infant in grace. See, because see, when you first get in grace, you think, you know, you still got to do something. You still, and sometimes that infancy in grace can last for several years until you discover, just like you couldn't do anything to be saved, you can't do anything to get God working for you. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. See, you think, see, because if you do something to get him working, you can still take the credit. Right. I'm messing with somebody in here. Yeah, because see, you can still take the credit. You can say, well, I did this and God started working for me. You ever heard people talk like that? I done that. I prayed and I got a turnaround. But what about if God just decided to do it because he loves you? See, that's the kind of favor that God is going to perform in this season. He's just going to choose to do some stuff for you just because he loves you. Mm-hmm. Just because he said, so we have to grow in that grace. And while we're growing in that grace, we have to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in knowledge. The word is gnosis. It's gnosis. It's not to just generally know, but it's to know by revelation. See, you have to grow in knowledge, to know by revelation, to know by what the Spirit of God reveals to you. Yeah, because if God ever reveals something to you, he will give you the power to activate it. Because revelation comes with activation. Once God gives you a revelation, he gives you the power to activate what he revealed to you. So you grow in this favor. You grow in this grace of God. And then over in 1 Samuel chapter number 2 verse 26. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26. I'm going to get you to these verses and I know I'm going to have to stop in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26. Mm-hmm. Because again, as you grow in this favor, as you grow in this grace, as you develop in it, you'll begin to see that it's all about God and not about you. God began to consume you with his love and with his goodness. See, we just talked about, you know, the goodness of the Lord, you know, before we ended this year, and how God's goodness leads us to repentance. See, it's not God being, you know, harsh toward us that causes us to repent. Because, see, if that was the case, all these things that's been happening in our weather, folk would be falling on their knees and this church would be filled. But judgment don't lead to change. Goodness do. And, see, the church get mad when God is good to somebody that we don't think qualify. And we get upset with God because we think God should have done something to them by now. And God is saying, I'm giving them the opportunities that I'm giving you. I'm going to continue to show them my goodness. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26 it said, and the child Samuel grew in stature. Now underline that word stature, because that word means that he developed in his influence. He developed in who he was until he became great and popular among his peers. He grew into who he was until he became great and popular. See, in this season and in this time we're living in, most young people think they got to be somebody else to become popular. That's why they change identities every other year. Because nobody have told them who they are. You have to tell them who they are so they can have confidence in who they are and will not try to be somebody else and keep trying to switch out to fit in. Come on, y'all are not going to talk. Church folk do the same thing too. Yeah, we pretend to be this, we pretend to be that, we pretend to be the other, instead of being who God has created us to be able to grow in stature, be able to grow in our own influence. See, be able to grow in who God has called you to be, not try to grow into who God has called somebody else to be. They're doing a good job being them. You don't have to be them. You can be your unique self and God will get you to the places of grace you need to be at. But you got to be you. See, a lot of us can't arrive in favor like God wants us to because we continue to try to be something or someone else. So the Bible says the child Samuel, he grew in stature. He grew in being great and influential. See, he grew into it. It didn't happen overnight. See, you mess around and become popular overnight, you'll lose your mind and think you God. But God have a process for you to go through. It's a grace process. See, sometimes God have to carry you through the hard so you can appreciate the easy. And a lot of you in 2014, it was a big year, but you went through some struggles. You went through some hard stuff. And God say, because you was faithful in the hard, I'm about to bring the easy to you. Easy like Sunday morning. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. And see, you done got accustomed to things being hard. It's going to be some of us, it's going to take us a long time to embrace the easy, because you addicted to hard. See, like I'm talking right now, and a lot of them in your mind, you're saying, it can't be that easy. It can't be that. God is not just going to do it like that, is it? Yes, he is. See, you addicted to hardness. You stayed in it so long, and some of it was the result of your choices to be there. It wasn't the will of God for you to be there. And you was in it so long, now you addicted to it. It's like people who have been through abuse. They have been abused so long till they become addicted to it. They get in another relationship expecting that. Y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. Why do we do that? Why? Because when you struggle sometimes has a tendency to affect your personality to the point that you think you're the struggle. You think the struggle is you. You begin to identify yourself by the struggle. You begin to call yourself the struggle. And as you call yourself, others call you the same thing. And you get accustomed to hearing and thinking that. And now that God is saying that I'm going to make it easy for you, you take my yoke upon you, and it's going to be easy for you to live in the unforced rhythms of God's grace. Sometimes that's a difficulty when your mind haven't shifted. Because you think it's about you working hard to get the job done. Because granddaddy told you work hard. Grandmama told you work hard. Come on, I'm messing with some mentalities right now, because you think when you work hard, you accomplish more. No, when you faith hard, you accomplish more. Because God has more for you right now, but you too busy laboring. You too busy laboring. Why? Because you want the credit. I've been there. You want the credit. I've been there where, as a pastor, I want to work it, work it, work it, work it. And when folks say New Creation is doing a big thing, then I'll be like, yeah, 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 he is, ain't it? But what God has taught me, what he's going to do is going to be by his power, by his might, not by anything that any of us do. Woo! So he said he grew in stature. And here it is. And as he developed in who he was, the Bible says, and in favor both with the Lord and men. As he grew into who he was, God began to allow his favor to be released on his life. And God showed him favor so man couldn't refuse to. Look at somebody and say, the favor God is showing me in this season. People cannot refuse to show that same favor. Now over in Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Is this helping you? And Jesus increased in wisdom. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He began to increase. He began to grow. He began to multiply in wisdom. Now, underline wisdom, because wisdom is the supernatural ability to unlock hard answers. It's when God gives you the supernatural ability to unlock stuff that people are struggling with. To solve, you become a problem solver instead of a problem creator. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, help us. Because too long the church been creating problems instead of solving problems. The reason why the church haven't moved in the kingdom like it's supposed to move, because we have a lot of problem creators instead of problem solvers. See, when somebody bring you a problem, ask Holy Spirit, how can I solve it? Not how can I make it worse. Not how can I criticize it. Even if somebody bring you a problem about somebody, don't add to the fire. Don't put gas on it. Throw some water on it. How can I solve this? How can we solve this? How can we do something for that person that can make what they're going through a lot easier? The Bible says he increased in this kind of problem solving. He increased in this kind of problem solving. Jesus had the wisdom to solve problems. He had the wisdom of Solomon when the two women brought the live baby to Solomon. And one had slept on hers and the baby died. And she got the other woman's baby and brought it into her crib. And the other woman missed her baby and she knew that this woman had her baby. So they go before the king to see what the king gonna do because he was known for wisdom. And so Solomon say, okay, put the baby here, get the sword, let's split him in half and give him to each one of them. The one who really was the birth mother say, no, let her have him. While the other one say, yeah, I take half. Solomon was able to solve the problem. He didn't create the problem. See, he didn't keep things stirred up between the two women. He could have went that route like some of us do. Come on, y'all been in church long enough. You know folk will bring you some stuff and you'll add to it instead of solving it. See, the grace of God can't get on us because we won't grow in wisdom. We have to become problem solvers. We have to become people who look for the answer for that situation. So Jesus increased in wisdom, and look what happened, and stature. Same as Samuel, stature. He became an influential person among his peers. As he grew in it, he grew in stature. He grew in stature. It didn't start out like that. He grew in it. Here it is. And in favor with God and again with man. He grew in this. He developed in this. He learned how to adjust, listen to this, to the favor of God. He learned how to adjust to the favor. He learned how to position himself to receive the favor. He learned how to do that. And that's what we're going to have to learn, how to position ourselves to favor. As we mentioned on New Year's night, the words grace and favor is used in most scriptures interchangeably. Grace and favor is used interchangeably. Grace is God's favor. In the Hebrew, it actually has several different meanings. To be gracious, to show favor or pity. To be gracious, show favor or pity. To show favor towards someone. Or to pity someone. To be merciful toward them. To open up your bowels of mercy toward people. Yeah, just show them kindness and compassion just to do it. See, and that's what God does for us. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new. You don't get the same mercy from yesterday. God provides for you every morning new mercies. New mercies. Why? Because God wants you to build the confidence in him enough to know every single day of your life he's going to be right there to aid you and to help you. It also means to make favorable, to make favorable, to make favor, to make favor work for you, to make it work for you. Also, it means to direct favor, to start directing the favors in your life, to start pointing your life toward areas that you need favor in. Look at somebody and say, I'm a director of favor. Yeah, yeah. To seek favor or to employ favor. To seek favor or to employ favor. The Bible says that we can come confidently, boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find favor in our time of need. We can come confidently and boldly before that throne of God. We don't have to come before God's throne of grace with our head down just because we had a bad day. You come with the same confidence that you did the day before you got in trouble. You come because you know God going to show you some mercy. And you know God going to give you favor right when you need it. He's going to show you favor when everybody else disfavored you. Mm-hmm. He's going to look at somebody and say, God's going to show me favor. Even if others disfavor me. Yeah, the word grace or favor is a combination of God's mercy power and kindness power. It's a combination of his mercy power and kindness power. But it's an interesting word when you see it in the original Hebraic language. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Because in this particular word, you have a symbol of a wall. You have a symbol of a wall. And then in this word, you also have a symbol of a seed. A symbol of a wall and a sea. And what it does, it draws the picture of nomads who are tent dwellers. And those who are tent dwellers in most of their camps, there are 50 families or more. And what they would do, they would set up their tents in a circular formation. God help me in here. Circular formation. What they're doing is they're building a wall so that the enemy can't get in. And within that circular formation, you have the symbol of a seed. A symbol of a seed, which indicates continuation from one generation to the next. And within that wall, you have compassion and favor. Come on, you're not going to talk. It's the word Hanan. To Hanan, to have compassion and to have favor among those who you are connected with. That's why it is important for us to assemble ourselves on Sunday morning so that we can have our tents in a circular formation so that everything God is wanting to do in the worship service, the people who are there can get what they came for. Why? Because they're connected to the right wall. Look at somebody and say, you connected to the right wall. Yeah. You're connected to the right wall. And it's not just going to affect us who are here today, but it's going to affect the seed after us. It's going to affect the generation after us. That's why that seed symbol is so important. Why? Because it goes from one generation to another. The Bible says God's blessing go down to the 1,000th generation. That means the favor on you will jump off on your children. Y'all ain't gonna talk. I just told my daughter the other day, I say, listen, I say everything that I have access to, because you're connected to me, you got access to it too. Every anointing that I have access to, you have access to. Every blessing that I have access to, you have access to it. Why? Because you're connected to me. Look at somebody and say, everything that I have access to, because you're connected with me on this morning, you have access to it too. If God is about to bless you, look out, he gonna bless me. If God is about to give you a car, look out, if I need one, I'm about to get one too. If God is about to give you a house, look out, because I'm connected to you this morning, I'm about to get my house too. If you're about to get a promotion, look out. Somebody say, look out, I'm about to get one too. Because what God done for one in principle, he's obligated to do for another. And if God done it for you, I can go ahead and shout now. I don't have to wait until the battle is over. Because I'm connected to the body of Christ. And whatever God is doing in the body, because I'm connected, I'm going to get a blessing too. Look at somebody and say, whatever God is doing in the body in this season, I'm going to get a blessing too. Come on, give God a praise. I'm about to get out of here. Because we are connected. And not only because we are connected, but because God has put around us an invisible wall of favor. If you would go to Psalms chapter number 5, verse number 12. Psalms 5 and 12, and I'm done. Woo! I'll give you the rest next Sunday. I'm past my time. But I'm done. We're going to get out of here right now. After this verse right here. Somebody say, after this verse. Mm-hmm, we getting out of here. So you can go work this favor. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to work this favor today. Yeah, I'm learning how to connect to it. I'm learning how to operate in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Psalms chapter number, what did I tell you? Chapter what, 5 and 12? All right, good listeners. 5 and 12, look what it say. Because of the symbol of the wall. The symbol of the wall in this word, Hanan, this word, grace or favor. That wall not only allows you to connect with the blessings of God, but it also allows you to be shielded by this same favor. Look at somebody and say, favor is shielding me also. Because the enemy, what he would try to do is frustrate the grace of God in your life. So you will step away and step away from the shield. But look at somebody and say, not in this season. Mm-hmm. In chapter number 5, verse 12, it says, For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. God is going to protect you in this season by his favor. It's not going to be by your gun. It's not going to be by your alarm system in your house. That's not what's going to keep the devil out. Because even a good thief know how to get around the alarm system. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me up in here. A good thief now know how to get around. Some thieves will break right in the house with the alarm system going off. And most of the time they done been in your house. Done scoped out what they going to get. But look at somebody and say, when they come to my house, the invisible wall of favor is going to discourage them from breaking in my house. Favor may let them see somebody's shadow walking through. And they thought it was a person, but it was an angel. And they couldn't break in and get my stuff. Favor gonna protect your account. They talking about identity theft. You can't steal my identity. Because my name is not just Stan, but my name got Christ in it too. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. And you can't take the Christ out of my name. Because the anointing is on the inside of me. You can only take what's on the outside, but you can't take what's on the inside. If you do take some outside stuff, the inside will bring more back. So he's going to shield you this season. He's going to protect you this season. Most people are going to be threatened, you know, by losing their job, but God going to shield you from you losing yours. Y'all ain't going to talk to me and him. The company may downsize, but you upsizing. Because you bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Oh, I got to get up out of here. Look at somebody and say, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That's why I have to stop focusing on the outside stuff and start focusing on the inside stuff. Yeah. You're going to get your business because God going to put a wall around the building. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me. See, you got to go in faith in this thing. Look at somebody and say, in this season. It will not be labor, but it'll be all favor. Come on, if you believe that, give God a real good hand. I'm done. Come on, everyone standing to your feet. I'm already 15 minutes over. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, say, this is my favor season. Tell them, say, and I'm learning how to live in God's favor. Yeah, I'm learning how to do it. I'm learning how to do it. I'm learning how to do it. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn how to live in the unforced rhythms of grace. The rhythms of grace. The movement of grace. Somebody say the movement of grace. Come on, say it again. The movement of grace. Come on, every hand lifted. Hallelujah. The power of God is in here. The presence of God is in here right now. Right where you stand right now, God is working out everything that you tried to work out last year. Right now, right where you stand, God says, stand still and know that he's God. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what he told Israel when they was at that Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming after them from behind. God set up an angel to shield them, to protect them until they crossed over the Red Sea. That was a demonstration of God's favor and grace on their lives. Mm-hmm. Because they know they couldn't get over that Red Sea by human effort. It would take the power of God. And some people have tried to say that the Red Sea really didn't part. That's a bigger miracle. I said it's a bigger miracle. If it didn't part, how in the world they got across it? That's a bigger miracle. So it doesn't matter how you look at God. You can look at him from the perspective of his favor in your life. And in this season, God gonna give you all of him for all of you. Right now, every part of him is gonna be poured into your life. That everything God has in store and planned for you in this season, not might come to pass, shall come to pass. God is bringing things to your doorstep now. You're not gonna have an excuse that I'm not getting a fair chance. Man, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. He's bringing it to your footsteps now. He's bringing it to your doorsteps rather. Right, and I'm telling you, God is bringing opportunity right before you in this season. You will not have the excuse that I'm not getting a fair shake anymore. Because God is going to make sure you get a fair shake. This favor in this season are going to open up doors that is going to blow our minds. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Doors that are going to blow your mind. Because you think what happened in the previous season is going to hinder you from what God has planned for you in this season. But it's not going to be able to do it. Because in this season, God is going to do it on his own. He's not going to let you do it. If you try to do it, you won't be successful. But if you allow him to do it, he'll cause you to succeed. Come on, lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. Yeah. God is shifting your life. He's shifting your life. He's shifting your life. He's positioning you up under the portal of his favor. And every day, he's going to release a portion of that favor. Every moment, he's going to release a portion of that favor. Until everything in your life in this season is complete in him. Hallelujah. I'm going to prophesy the no's are about to become yeses. The no's are about to become yeses. God is about to give you an affirmative. He's about to give you an eternal yes. Marabasa. And it's going to open up the floodgates of God. And you're going to receive things in your hand that you can't contain. You're going to be like the disciples when Jesus told them to throw the net on the other side. And they threw the net on the other side and they got so many fish that their nets began to break. And they had to call on their neighboring fishermen to come over and help them gather up all the fish. I come to tell you supernaturally, God is about to network you with others. He's about to network you. He's about to divinely connect you with the right people. Because what he's doing in your life is too big for you to handle on your own. Father, we thank you and bless you for it now. Come on, hands up. We glorify you for it now. We appreciate you for it now. We believe that there's none like you, oh God. That's why we worship you, Father. That's why we're in your presence today. Because we know in your presence is the fullness of joy and in your right hand is pleasure forevermore. And we thank you for it. We bless you for it. And we give you glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you believe, say amen.